Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Windows into Eternity, Understanding Concepts of Ascension. My name is Almeen, and we have Paul St. John, who is here to help us today by having questions ready for me, and we will attempt to make this a wonderful hour we can share with you. Paul, all of us want to know more about these deeper mystical concepts that have to do not only with our own ascension, but also of that of the earth. So what would be any questions you have pertaining to the reality of earth or our own and how it is altering?
Well, Almeen, last week we ended off discussing space and time as they once were. And you talked at length in the show about how they've collapsed. And I know that space and time were two important components that created reality before the ascension began, and space was valid right up until recently. I was wondering if you could talk now a little bit more about what constitutes reality at this time.
Yes, and it's a pretty broad question, but we will tackle it from one side to the next and just see where we end up. And for folks that missed last week's show, we would be very happy if you can go to the archives of BBS, and Paul, they should be up on the archives. Is that correct?
I believe they will be, yes.
And also, we want to mention that on Friday nights at 8 p.m., we are on, and is this Pacific time, 8 p.m.?
Yes, it is.
On Friday nights, we are on The Mystical World We Live In, Discovering the Secrets of the Hidden Realms. So we just want to let you know that that's another place you can find us and join us, hopefully. So, Paul, what constitutes, let's start with time. For those people out there that have watched the movie Groundhog's Day, very fun movie with Bill Murray, one of my favorites, where he lives the same day over and over and over until eventually when he gets it right. If you don't have linear time, you have groundhog moments where you're essentially living the same moment over and over and over. Well, when time totally collapsed, when space was no more, what happened is that Mother created a repetition of a specific moment. The moment she chose to recreate over and over and over, or to replay over and over, so we're living the same moment over and over. The moment she chose is the moment of pristine birth of the cosmos. So, in other words, we are living our brand new creation with all its full potential there, each moment, over and over and over. So what she had hoped that this would done for humanity, would do for humanity, sorry, when I get into these esoteric concepts, my tongue won't work properly, but what happens is that she was hoping that we would be easier able to break old habits and patterns and belief systems that produce prison bars of our existence. So that's why she chose that moment, that we live it over and over. The other thing is that growth is now not linear. Growth used to go through three very specific stages: transformation, in which we shed the old that didn't work any longer; transmutation, in which we took that which was, painful and turned it into wisdom, but we always took the lead and turned it into the gold in some way, and or we took information and turned it into experiential knowledge, and that would produce a great deal of light, which would then precipitate the third stage, which is transfiguration. Because any being can only hold so much light before they must change to the next level. So the point of the matter is, my brothers and sisters, that we now, in one instant, can transfigure into the next level, into the next. Transfiguration, transformation, and transmutation have merged into one consolidated quality, and the quality is exaltation. Wow. When you have all those three things happening at once, what you have is exaltation. So exaltation has become the nature of reality, the way change takes place.
Wow. That's incredible. I mean, that feels so right. Yeah,
yes.
I can definitely have a sense of that. That's wonderful. So, in terms of the building blocks of reality, are light and love or frequency still a part of reality, or is it actually more of those qualities or building blocks?
You know, Paul, right at the beginning of December, something unheard of happened. And December of 2007, something absolutely unheard of happened. And what it is the collapsing of the seven directions. And the seven directions represented vast frequency bands that had specific natures to them and qualities attached to them. For example, the south is the direction of matter. Its nature was unity within diversity. The west was energetic. Its nature was diversity. So we're not the seven directions. Collapsed in that they all went into the inner direction. The inner direction's element is zero point energy in which everything happens immediately and at once. You've asked me a question I don't know the answer to. What now are the building blocks? One thing that I can tell you is that, see, again, yesterday, such massive events happened in the cosmos that I am not entirely sure what the ramifications of them are, nor am I entirely sure what that means for our future or if it is just a transitionary stage. But let me backtrack a second. In the beginning of December 2007, the seven directions all entered into the one, which is the seventh, which is the direction of within. That's when, as a cosmos in the outer space of Mother, we pulled through into her inner space. And we discussed this in some detail last week, if I think. Didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Okay. So then, those old building blocks are gone. Now, where are we? I know that the cosmos itself had five levels of light and five, levels of frequency and energy and matter. So everything was divided into five, whereas previously matter was one level. Energy was the next level. The higher level up was frequency. Then you got to light. Then you got to such and such. Well, the point of the matter is where we are now, there's physicality in all five levels. But yesterday, I don't even know what the date was yesterday, but in the middle of December somewhere, we had a purging that Mother did that was so massive that it took a lot of the creatures of the cosmos out of existence. The percentage is so high, I mean, I don't even want to share it with you. 9/10 of the cosmos was taken out of commission, meaning they were dissolved as life forms into consciousness. They don't, that's the second death. They don't even have individuations anymore. She then, for 6 hours, revealed her glory to the remainder of the cosmos in a way that, you know, did we encounter it? You were working in the office. Did you feel somehow different? Your dream body, the body that is in your dream time able to move around, did experience this, that it saw Mother in vision for 6 hours. When it saw Mother in vision for 6 hours, what happened is that the entire remainder of the cosmos turned from physicality to light. The people you see out in the streets right now are not physical as we used to know it. To them, you know, the whole thing moves up. You don't know the difference. You still feel physical to each other unless you're a more refined light.
Mm-hmm.
But we've all turned to light as of yesterday. Now, you know, the question is, why would Mother go to so much trouble to create her creations only to, at the end of the day, when she's able to make them real, which is, we discussed this process in last week's class, to have so many of them be cut as the dead, non-life-enhancing portions of the cosmos? She has, you know, she went through so much to preserve the diversity. That's a big question.
Yeah, it's a huge one.
See, I think, Paul, what it is, is that yesterday I was told by Mother that 2 times before, she has totally recreated everything in creation. In each instance, the way it was done produced some form of, shall we call it, distortion. For example, the last time she did it, she clustered the awareness in the oceans of consciousness in which she created her creations. So she clustered awareness into individuation. When that happens, energy drops. When energy drops, consciousness falls. So the way creation was done before inherently had a lowering of consciousness as part of the creational process. So something was wrong with that picture. My belief is that all this beautiful diversity of life that has been produced will be now, with the exception of the small portion that is listening to my voice. You know, and we won't know how many trillions of beings out there in the cosmos to make it when we're here on Earth, or even if 1 million people off the Earth disappeared, would we really even know it? So the point is that not all kingdoms lost in the same proportion. In the angelic kingdom, not one was lost, because all of them remained absolutely true blue, faithful to the Mother. The kingdom of the darklings, which are these beautiful beings that are the history keepers of the cosmos, not one was lost. The Pegasus, the unicorns, the mer people, not one. Of the dragons, not one survived. So at some point, I believe in the near future, Mother is going to recreate those portions of creation that didn't make it, but create them differently. so that creation does not equate with a fall of consciousness.
Wow, I mean, that's quite something. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yes. Oh, Paul, you know what? It's commercial time. We get into these deep discussions, and I completely forget. So please be with us again in a bit, beloved family of light. I'm so glad that you're there. We feel your presence always when we do these shows. We'll be back with you soon.
The brand new book, The Gift of the Unicorns, is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers a question: do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today. A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back to Windows into Eternity, Understanding Concepts of Ascension. Our other show on Friday nights at 8 p.m. is The Mystical World We Live In, Discovering the Secrets of the Hidden Realms. And Paul, welcome back to you too, and always grateful for all these good questions that you produce, my friend. What would be the next one?
Thank you, Amin. I think it would be nice to delve a little bit further into something that you just touched on before the break. You talked a little bit about the fall in consciousness that was pretty much inherent in the way creation was done the first two times. And so I was wondering, I know that a huge part of the fall has to do with distortion and illusion. So could you talk to us about what distortion and illusion are and how they were created?
Yes. Now, we need to differentiate between distortion and illusion.
Yes.
But here's how this goes.
Okay.
At the age of 5, a child forms an inner map of space and an outer map of space, what's called bilaterality and directionality. It's very important at the age of 5 that a child can run and jump off logs and jump from one stepping stone to the next and play hopscotch and things, because it teaches them to gauge differences and get relationships right between outer and inner worlds. Now, we spoke, and I don't remember if it's this show or the last one, because the last moment is gone, but we spoke about the fact that Mother, the infinite being, as the only being, even before she created the Father, had not really any inner map of space, because there was no outer to relate to. There was only her. So she started to partition off layers of her mind that was awake, which we call the oceans of consciousness, and beyond that, lay mind at rest. Within the mind that was awake, partitioned off into these oceans of consciousness contained within membranes. She lit a small portion of it, and within that she created the Father like a flashlight spot on the ceiling. That created directionality, something to relate to in the outer. But she did not have an inner map of space until 2007, when it was uncovered that this was necessary because she would soon be able to transfer her creations from the outer to the inner, which would make us not just an image on a TV screen, but more real, like a player on a stage. When a child does not have that inner map of space, they have dyslexia. When they have dyslexia, they see things back to front, and they see things, in some instances, upside down. Mother couldn't see clearly, even in those outer things. When she had the book to read, the letters were backwards. She saw things backwards because of the lack of inner space. How would one know that you need that unless you experience the flaw first? It is the flaws that have given her the wisdom of the knowledge of her being. So literally, the infinite was dyslexic in that it had no frame of reference to create that inner map of space. So this is one thing. The other thing is that in order to come up with new equations, like let's say you have the Father, you have the Mother's form, you have the Father inside that flashlight spot on the ceiling, Mother now goes into that flashlight spot, creating a closing of her vision so that she can hold the space of just that flashlight spot in her focus. She then enters into it. Now she has something to relate to. Father is an externalization of all that she is. He is A, she is B, or she is A and he is B, but A and B equals the infinite. There's not much you can do with A and B equals the infinite if A and B are totally the same. Because then all you have is infinite divided into a specific proportion, and what has that really taught you? So the way that those algebraic equations that equals the infinite being of the Mother became more and more varied was that Mother gave them freedom of choice. A could stand for a portion that's Mother, but A is now A plus B plus X minus Y equals the infinite. So that there was always that wild card thrown into the equation so that she could see different possibilities of what her being could be. The freedom of choice element, however, made beings live out portions of her that she didn't know if it was her or not. Because is this just simply a mirror of me that I didn't know that the nose on my face existed because I didn't have a mirror? Or is it the person's own choice that is reflecting that which I'm not? That is illusion. The distortion came from not seeing properly what things are. There was distortion like fingerprints on your glasses and you can't see through it. Illusion, on the other hand, came from mirrors that mirrored that which she was not, and the confusion that arose around that. She could see it, perhaps, you know, backwards, but what she saw, she didn't know if it was hers or not. That had to be solved through experience, by turning those unknown portions into the known through experience was the ultimate goal of every single life form until August of 2006, when Mother finally determined that I am and that I am not. And that's when, illusion was solved. For mystics traveling through space, space used to be black, then it became purple. And that's because it was just the purity of mother's being that remained. Nothing was mirrored to her that she did not know whether that was her or that was not. So that's how illusion was born and also how illusion got solved. The distortion was solved by creating the inner map of space. So, Paul, we have time for one more question and then we'll take another commercial break.
Wow, Almeen, thank you for sharing that. That is, it's just an amazing explanation of distortion and illusion. I'm curious why it is that both distortion and illusion and also space and time, something that you mentioned last show, has collapsed, or no longer are real. Why these things still seem real for so many people?
Well, humanity is without a doubt the densest level of creation. That's why we're so important. Because it is from the densest level that life is changed. Because it is at the densest level where all new information has to be gained. Because it's here where the known meets the unknown. At this point, what the unknown is not what mother is and what she isn't. She knows that now. But what it is how, what different ways can I express all these beautiful qualities that I am? So the very purpose of life has changed. The purpose of life has become, instead of turning the unknown through the known, often very painfully through experience, into the known through experience, it has become to live that which mother is and father is, which is purity, love, light, passion. All these beautiful, beautiful qualities that we have given on the Belvaspatah website. And the website is, if you'll just give that one more time, Paul.
It's www.belvaspatah, BelvaspatahCom.
The true emotions, the true states of being are given on that website. Those are, in fact, mother's pure tones of what she is. And it's how many ways can we live those things? How many possible things can we find to bring us joy?
Wow, I think that really is, the new paradigm that all light workers have been working towards, whether they really knew it or not. Thank you.
And you know, the one thing, Paul, that you did ask that I didn't quite get to, actually. Sorry, I forgot about this one. But you said to me, why are we still clinging to that? Part of the reason is that the most focused in terms of our vision, meaning that it's a small, bright spot of light versus a broad, diffuse spot that covers a lot. The most focused in vision is humanity. They are, as a consequence, the best problem solvers in the cosmos. And star beings told me this about 5 years ago. They said even two children fighting over toys on Earth solve problems better than beings on other planets. Since I've been traveling back and forth between the worlds, I have found that to be an irrevocable truth. I can tell you that. You can ask an angel to solve something for you. Day after day after day, you can come back and he won't know what he's doing. At the end of the day, you have to solve it for him and he'll tell you immediately whether it feels good or not. So, you know, our ability has contracted our vision. It's made us only see what's right before us deeply, but we miss everything on the peripheral. All these massive changes of the cosmic ascension, every being in the cosmos knows, except humanity. And we have, you know, in the past persisted to cling to the old illusions that disease is real or war is real, when the real components of them in the cosmos have been removed. Death is no longer real because the cosmos has become immortal. It's now a choice. And a belief system will take us down that path for sure. So letting go of the expectations of social conditioning and belief systems is the answer to that. And also, where we put our focus. Some of the most major light workers on earth are listening to our words right now. If they enjoy the silly war games, and I know it's not silly to those who are dying, but if they sit and watch it like television addiction, or even turn it on and look at it and look at violence in movies as, you know, as their entertainment, yes, it will perpetuate it.
Thank you, Amin. I think that really, you know, answers an important question for all lightworkers about how all of these very profound metaphysical concepts that you're speaking about, how we can live in accordance with them and what effect they have for us. I think this is a very practical example.
And, Paul, this might be a good moment for our commercial break. We'll be back soon.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almaine's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Elvispada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almaine's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Almaine continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almaine is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almaine, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back. We're glad to have you with us today. And Paul, we're into a juicy discussion here, so what else would you like to tackle?
Well, I mean, we left for the break with a discussion on focus to some extent. We were talking about different the importance of our focus, particularly for those light workers who are the way showers for not only the Earth but the cosmos, and then also humanity in general, as it's the densest part of the cosmos, and thus really moving things forward through the choices we all make. Now, I know that there's a lot out there in terms of spiritual practices, and I'm thinking with some of your discussion earlier about how much has changed in terms of many of the subtle bodies around the human being have changed, if not all entered into one. I'm not entirely sure where we are with that, but I was wondering if you can talk a little bit about the light body of the human being, because I know that a lot of light workers focus on developing the light body and becoming more aware of the different layers of light around them. And I'm just wondering if this is relevant anymore, and basically how it relates to ascension as you see it at this time.
Well, I would need to know whether you mean the dream body that walks around at night and does a lot of work, or whether you mean the bodies that are around making sort of a luminous egg, you know, the emotional, the mental, spiritual, emotional, etc., around the body, or if the light body pertains to a higher aspect that's out in higher realms. What exactly is meant by light body that light workers work on?
Well, that, I think, is my first question for you, because in general, it's just referred to as the light body. And what I've always wondered is if people who talk about the light body are referring to the luminous cocoons that you talk about. Generally, what is indicated in other teachings is a geometrical form or a sphere of some kind around the body. There are different ones described, all taking different geometrical forms, like a star tetrahedron to start, and then a larger one being an octahedron around. And I know you've talked a lot on this show and other shows about dynamic geometry and how these more rigid geometric figures with angles and joints are actually part of the illusion. So I'm curious, with so much attention put on those shapes as bodies around the physical body, basically where that stands in your opinion. I hope that made it a little bit clearer.
Okay, I'm still not quite sure what we're saying about the light body. Do you,
well,
do you have any idea what they mean? Because, I mean, I don't think they mean the Merkaba.
Yes, they do.
Oh, they mean the Merkaba?
Yes. That's often referred to as the light body. But there's many, many different layers to it.
Right.
So how does that relate to the luminous cocoon that you describe?
It's different from the luminous cocoon.
That's what I thought.
In that they are electromagnetic fields.
I see.
And the other are higher bodies.
Okay.
So it's an entirely different thing. That is around the person. And then previously, before the ascension of the cosmos started to basically gobble these other realms up in ascent, we had higher realms in which aspects of ourselves also dwelt, such as one of us was in the spirit world and maybe guided our physical self. So they were our higher selves. And then people referred to their highest self, which I presume they meant that spirit from which these soul individuations come. The spirit is still there, but the soul individuations as higher selves are no longer there because of the fact that, you know, we have our own bodies around us in higher and higher sort of levels of light and frequency, but we don't have higher aspects of ourselves out there. We have our highest aspect as an individuation of consciousness superimposed over the whole cosmos. And then we have this body that's having the experience here with those bodies around it, and around those there are the spinning fields of the electromagnetic fields, which we call the Merkaba. The only thing there I can tell you is, yes, they are still there, but two things about them have changed, if we're talking about the Merkaba.
Yes.
The two things that changed is that Mother created equal speed spinning. We used to have the Fibonacci sequence as the ratio between fields that spun to the left and fields that spun to the right. And there's the magnetic and the left is the electrical. They used to be at two different speeds. Then Mother said that the left spinning faster than the emotional one, which is the right spinning one, was a deliberate tampering by those who wanted to keep humankind from ascending and pulling their own non-life-enhancing lives into oblivion. So they wanted, this is where they put the pressure to stop us. So they made the left-spinning Merkabic fields for humans spin faster because it made us more mentally oriented. And when you're mental, you're in separation more than you are in inclusiveness. So that was one of the issues that she made it that they spin at the same speed.
Right. That's interesting. And one thing I have noted that might relate to that is that one spiritual practice that it seems like there's a more equal number of men and women attracted to is or those early practices with the Merkabah,
yes.
And it could very well be for that reason.
And then the other thing that was changed is that the Merkabah field itself has been changed. The field used to have angles and joints. We used to have a double star tetrahedron around the human body, as Leonardo da Vinci drew, and we used to have, you know, then the octahedron, the four-sided pyramid base to base and so on. But they had angles and they had joints. That kept us locked to illusion. So Mother actually changed it into, I believe, 9 rays of light moving at the same time, creating this sphere, the way 9 arms would describe it in the air. You know, like that. So we have moving lines of light making the shape of a three-dimensional Star of David, which is this double star tetrahedron, versus having the field have angles and joints.
Right.
It's moving light. Again, so that we become fluid with change.
Yes, that's definitely a concept that you've mentioned frequently in your discussions of ascension is fluidity. I'm wondering if you can discuss the feeling body a little bit. I know that it was an important part of the ascension very early on. How important is it at this point?
The feeling body is the emotional body.
Yes.
And it's very, very important. In fact, I remember now that I had instruction in the night that there was a portion of the Earth's feeling body that was not flowing properly. So I don't know what that's about, but when that happens, floods are caused. So we've had a lot of flooding because there's a piece of emotion locked in the Earth's feeling body. She has the same configuration that we have. And it's when we have blockages in the feeling body that emotion comes out very jaggedly. But our feeling body is vitally important for several reasons. The feeling body, that is the colored flow light that you take pictures of as your aura, the feeling body is the body that relays the energy to bodies from their higher bodies. Now, this is now different. In the last month, which is December, November of 2007, Mother gave a great gift to all her beings. She created an everlasting energy source in their hearts, a free energy device. So it's now in the physical where the energy is born. Now the emotional body serves the purpose of conveying from the physical to the higher bodies a continual supply of energy. But it is that which conveys the energy between the 4 lower and the 3 higher. The next thing about the feeling body is that is where non-cognitive thinking is done. It's where we get feelings of what is right and what is not. Right now, it will relay when there's opposite energy and matter in our environment to the body, that that's the case, and the body will feel it as a nausea in the stomach. The opposite energy and opposite matter will repel. We might be in a business meeting, we come with good intent, another comes with intent to hurt or take us for a ride. We will sense it by the nausea in our stomach, and it's signaled to us by the emotional body.
Wow, that's very helpful to know. I think we're all looking for guidance, particularly as things change so quickly, so that's very helpful, Amin.
And Paul, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with everybody again.
After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Amin experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book has been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master and in addition continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nahual and seer, Amin's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Amin's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Key series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Amin at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
Welcome back. And Paul, we want to fit as much in before the end of our show. What else would you like us to tackle?
Well, Amin, I think we have enough time to go into, I'd like to ask you to describe for us a meditation exercise that you give in your book, The Ring of Truth. Now, this is the meditation that you've probably described to or recommended to people before, but it's also a way, an exercise that introduces people to Belvaspita, and it helps people. It's part of the exercises that one does to become initiated into Belvaspita. It's the expansion exercise. I'm sure you know which one I'm referring to. And if you could basically run through that exercise for all our listeners, that would be fantastic. And then maybe next week we'll be able to talk a little bit more about Belvaspita itself.
Oh, as you will. And just so folks out there understand this, the expansion that Paul is suggesting that we do as a meditation simply takes you to where you live from once you go into God consciousness. And we describe the stages of man very carefully, the ascension stages, what happens to the fields as they transfigure, and it's given in both The Ring of Truth and in Secrets of the Hidden Realms in some detail, as well as what lies beyond the human kingdom. So what we do is that we focus on the heart center. And we envision it starting to open, and it rotates open in a clockwise manner. And as we we watch it as though we're lying and looking at our own heart chest, but we're just relaxed. We've put ourselves into a meditative state so that we can breathe deeply and just blow out all the tensions everywhere in the body. When we are totally relaxed in that, with our eyes closed position, we just imagine ourselves looking down at our chest and seeing it open. And as it opens, it rotates open a little wider, a little wider. We see the earth, the whole earth, appear inside our heart as it opens beyond the speed of light. Eventually, we see the moon, we see the solar system, we see everything that is in our solar system, all the moons and Saturn's beautiful rings. And we let it open wider and wider and wider. Eventually, we see the whole galaxy, and we continue until our galaxy is just a pinprick of light in the big arms of white light and dark light that spread out from our massive central sun. We continue to expand far beyond the speed of light until we reach the outer limits of the cosmos, where we can no longer go to, and we feel ourselves push and push, but there's a membrane there. That is how we then hold our attention, that widely expanded. We observe everything within us. We observe the rotation of the central sun, how its arms are comprised of vast galaxies that look like pinpricks of light. And we just observe from this vast vantage point all life. We can occasionally put our attention in a certain spot. We can draw it back to a comet that's all on its lonely path through space. We can look at the massive clouds where suns and stars are burst. We can withdraw our attention to the earth, just observing the eons of time passing and the civilizations coming and going, and finding your life and looking through it from birth until now, and observing everything from this vast perspective, and realizing that the wisdom all these experiences have brought you. Realizing that in this vast perfection of everything, that which seemed like chaos was but a very large order that no one could really determine. There is no such thing as chaos. There's just such a thing as temporary destructuring, that a lower order can make way for a higher order. So it is part of our experience that our life may have seemed haphazardly created. But when we see the order and the vastness of the entire existence of the cosmos, we also know at that time that we have never been haphazardly created, nor have we at any time been left alone. For in this vast being, we dwell and have our being, and in us, she lives and dwells and has her being. If we look at our life's experiences that way, and we think of the worst moments, if we remove those moments, we would also have to remove that wisdom which we have become. And as we watch ourselves lifetime after lifetime, we realize that in the refining processes of our life, our experience has been turned into wisdom, and wisdom into exaltation. That we have come so far through a vast cycle of creation, and we have been life-enhancing enough that we are the ancient ones. We have made it. We have survived the ascensions that wiped out beings that were not life-enhancing. And this is the way that we internalize the beautiful qualities of the 12 pairs of pure emotion, of the 12 12 pairs of pure states of being. We internalize them as a vast ripple of feeling and emotion from this large perspective. And we experience them till they become a familiar friend. And then, when we find ourselves in a joyless place, we just call them back the way you would call someone on your cell phone. And there they are, an old familiar friend. Beloved ones, we have come to the end of our hour. Thank you for being part of our show.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Al Mee. Please join us again next week. Thank you.